So I was on my motorcycle heading home, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously. And I hit him broadside, flew over the car and landed, broke my arm, busted my shoulder. It wasn't good. Luckily, I had my helmet on, but yeah, I was mad. So a buddy told me to call the advocates. But, you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? But I called them. They were cool. They listened to me, and they were on my side for sure. They took care of everything. They're a good group of people. They helped me get what I deserved. They worked with the insurance companies. They got everything paid for. They fight for you, and they're going to go for the win.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you. Give us a call. Brother, I'm going, run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm We Too Deep, and over there holding your 2024 NBA champion towel of the Boston Celtics. That's DJ Wavy D. And we're doing Money in the Bank prediction. Now, we were supposed to have a third person here. So he had some scheduling issues. We'll bring him on at whenever he's available. We'll love to have him on here. And so Wavy D said he sent the ladder match predictions. So we'll see what he said. With that, as always, as we start every show, now I don't have the QR code on here. I took it off it. You know, after a few, everyone knows where the link is at. It's in the description. They know by now. Have to change up the scenery a little bit. We're working on that. Maybe changing the background color to like a blue or a red, like the logo. We might end up doing that next week. But with that, all the links, Discord, the WWE shop link, the support, all of that's in the description. If you're watching on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, share this with everyone you know. If you're listening on podcast, leave us a review, whether on Spotify or on Apple Podcast, follow or subscribe, whatever their terminology is. And with that housekeeping out of the way, typically we would review Raw, but we got a lot to talk. But we're going to review Raw through predicting Money in the Bank. So we're going to do all of our review over the last week. The one thing we're not going to talk about predicting Money in the Bank is what I want to talk about from SmackDown is Paul Heyman. They about killed the man. and just want to give him his flowers. The dude didn't sleep for like 24 hours to get in the character. That's crazy. That's dedication. And so props to that guy. And I just want to say I told you guys so. This was the year of Solo, and this dude is single-handedly sort of carrying this story. Not single-handedly. He's had some help, but compared to what else is in the bloodline outside of Jacob Fatu right now,
ooh,
he sort of carried the size of that story, made it easy for Roman to come back and get that big face pop when it happens. I have a feeling it's going to happen at SummerSlam, and I hate that I can't be in Cleveland to experience that. but you know, WWE, I'm not paying $300 to sit in the nosebleed. So
true.
I'll watch it from my house. But with that, let's go ahead and jump in through these predictions. Let's start with the women's Money in the Bank match. Probably the most obvious match to pick here. Though maybe not. Who knows? Maybe we get swerved. We find out everyone is involved after yesterday. We have Chelsea Green, Io Sky, Lyra Valkyria, Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, and the winner of yesterday's qualifier of Zoe Stark. Just a forewarning on Friday. That's my whole show is going to be about basically that decision of that match. And I got some things I need to ask Paul Levesque for on a personal level. But that's for Friday. We'll save that rant for Friday. Who's winning this match? I know you like Zoe.
I do like Zoe, but she's not my person to win the match.
Right.
I'm split between two people. I'm split between Chelsea Green and Tiffy Time. You know, saying Tiffany Stratton. I'm really split between the two, but I think that they will go down the path of Tiffany Stratton. I think Tiffany Stratton will win Money in the Bank for the women's side. That's my prediction for that match.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm stuck with the same two you have. I think the obvious pick is Tiffy. If they just want to make this, you know, the way that I think the storyline has been playing out, it's Tiffany. They want to shake things up and swerve us. I think Chelsea Green would be the one they do there. EO's already sort of in her thing with damage control, that thing that's going to happen. Lyra, I get the sort of underdog newcomer type storyline, but it's not there yet. I think she still has to, you know, she's not the top newcomer when theoretically Tiffany's still a rookie on the main roster. And Naomi and Zoe are just there to do the bumps. Yeah. Let's just be honest. And so Tiffany makes the most sense. If they want to cause some chaos, though, Chelsea Green winning would be fantastic.
Not to really swerve you, my buddy, his prediction, Steel Chair Twan on Instagram and TikTok for y'all. Yeah, he'll be on this show soon.
Yeah, go follow him. He makes some really, really good content.
He's all right, yeah. He makes some good stuff. So his prediction is he thinks we're getting a back-to-back winner in Io Sky. He thinks Io Sky is going to be back-to-back Women's Money in the Bank.
Okay.
First time since CM Punk.
I don't hate it. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think the story from what I've seen on SmackDown recently is Tiffany. This is how I would book it. Tiffany wins it. Nia Jax wins the title at SummerSlam and Tiffany cashes in on Nia Jax. It sort of writes itself. And so we enter after SummerSlam heading into Mania season. This is really why I would do it that way. You head into Mania season or preparing for Mania season with Tiffy as champion at Royal Rumble. You bring back Charlotte Flair. Have Charlotte win the Royal Rumble, and then that sets up Tiffany versus Charlotte at Mania. I think a lot of people don't realize that Triple H books these things. Like if you watch the preview for the documentary that comes out tomorrow about this year at WrestleMania, he said he had 95% of that or something like that booked in October. So he booked 6 months in advance. So I think he's thinking about Mania with the decisions of this pay-per-view or PLE. Tiffany Stratton to lead into the Charlotte feud at going into Mania is what I think. The men's is where I have a hot take because I think everyone assumes it's one of two people. I think everyone assumes it's Jay or Drew. And using conventional wisdom of the SmackDown woman wins it, you have to have a Raw man win it. I would agree. However, I think Triple H likes to blur the lines with this briefcase. And theoretically, the briefcase is any title. So you can have a SmackDown man win it and show up on Raw and tease it. So my hot take here, due to if all the interruptions we think are going to happen with Chad Gable and the Wyatt Six and LA Knight and Logan Paul and Drew and CM Punk and Jey Uso potentially getting attacked by the New Bloodline. And that's another question you would have to ask yourself. If Jay wins, how does he get into that bloodline story? Is he supposed to be a part of it? So that leaves Andrade and Carmelo left. They're not putting it on Andrade. He's mid-card. I just don't think they trust him yet. Though maybe the whole him being related to Charlotte Flair now may boost him. I think Triple H likes him. That's why he brought him back. But it's easy. It's easy for me. It's Carmelo Hayes. Can you just imagine Carmelo Hayes winning Money in the Bank on Saturday and coming back to that arena on Sunday and teasing Trick with that briefcase? And then him going on Monday night and teasing Priest with that briefcase, or teasing Rollins, whoever wins, with the briefcase. I just think Carmelo can be used that way. It gives Carmelo something to do. I just hope they don't mess it up similar to what they did with Theory, where they waited too long for him to cash in. You could also use it in the mid card. You know, Logan Paul, are you going to be safe retaining the title with Carmelo getting it? The case, who knows? But I'm picking Carmelo. It's a long shot, but I'm gonna put my money on Melo.
Now, like you're saying, a lot of these guys are involved in outside stories. You know, right now Jay's kind of floating until he gets put back in that bloodline story. Now, can Jay enter it with the briefcase? Sure. Say if Solo dethrones Cody for some reason. And he got Jay versus Solo. See,
I was thinking about that. Like, what if Solo wins it, and then that's how you get Jay?
Chad Gable is another name. I feel like Chad Gable's in the middle of like a big push right now. I feel like he's in the middle of something big. LA Knight, I don't see him needing it because, you know, we're on the path for him to face Logan Paul at SummerSlam for the title, so I don't think he doesn't need the Money in the Bank to do that. And I don't think he's going to win a major title until he wins the mid-card title anyways. Now, Drew McIntyre is second place, in my opinion, as far as someone who's going to win this. Mm-hmm. I think Drew McIntyre, the reason I think he's second place is depending when the order that they put these matches. If Drew wins early in the night and then tries to cash in, you know, later that same night, I think CM Punk costs him the match.
The cash in?
Yeah, I think CM Punk comes back and returns at Money in the Bank no matter what. I think either he pushes him off the ladder and he doesn't get the briefcase, or if Drew does get a briefcase, I think Punk interrupts his cash in and costs him the title. But I don't want to see them waste a contract like that.
I was gonna say that would get messy with like why have him win? That's a waste of the contract.
Yeah, so that's why I think CM Punk interferes during the match.
During the match, right?
And pushes them off the ladder. And so I think Carmelo is probably the best choice because of the new rule. They can challenge for any title because now we're not just limited to Carmelo's not really, you know, main event worthy yet, or, you know, world title worthy yet, but, you know, he could flirt around with the IC title, the US title, going back to NXT and getting the NXT World Championship. I think that might be a step back for him just because he's on the main roster. Let Trick and them tell their stories down there, because they got like a four-person story going on right now. Not to mention, Obafemi, I assume, is going to be in line for a world title push sometime soon, or NXT world title. So I think Carmelo flirts around my final prediction is Chad Gable. I think Chad Gable wins it, and I think maybe on his quest to cash in, then he starts getting messed with the YSX even more. Because I don't see if CM Punk already inserts himself in the ladder match, how much interference are you going to do until you consider overbooked? You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily see CM Punk interfering and the YSX interfering and also, you know, and the bloodline interfering. I feel like that's too much interference. So I think it comes down to Jay, Carmelo, and Chad Gable. And I picked Chad Gable. And Steel Chair Twan also picked Chad Gable. He thinks Chad Gable wins the Money in the Bank.
Okay.
But Mello in the Bank does sound good. It's a good name. But I mean, right. he stole from Carmelo. But Mello is money. Mello in the Bank. He stole from Carmelo.
So this moves into our Intercontinental Championship match. Between the hometown hero Sami Zayn and Bron Breakker. So I'm not gonna say there's no way that they have Bron lose, because they could always have Sami win to please the hometown crowd. But there's you can't have Bron lose this match. If he doesn't leave with the belt, it's outside interference. But I'm picking Bron. Bron has this to me is just to give him the mid-card strap so that they can justify putting him in the world title picture. I don't think he needs a mid-card title, to be honest. That's why, personally, if they would have booked Money in the Bank the way I told them to and had him in there, had him win it, had him cash in at Bash at Berlin, beating Gunther, and there was a whole storyline I had there. I think that would have been a better thing, but personally. But I think a lot of the fans who don't necessarily watch Raw all that much, or who didn't watch him in NXT, they need a justification to why he's immediately thrown into that world title picture, and giving him the IC title does that. And having him have that title run down there. So it's fine. I don't see Sami Zayn coming out of this with the belt. Unless the plan is some like fatal four way for that at SummerSlam. But I think you could do a fatal four way either way.
See, I'm torn right now because I still think Ricochet returns. And
right.
So until I see Ricochet in AEW, I still think Ricochet returns. I don't see Ricochet versus assuming that Bron Breakker wins, right?
Right.
You know, Ricochet, Bron Breakker is going to be his first target. And you don't just put the strap on Bron Breakker for a month, because if you bring Ricochet back to face Bron Breakker at SummerSlam and Ricochet loses, you kill all momentum that you potentially could put behind Ricochet coming back from his injury angle and all the sympathy he was going to get from the Samantha Irving thing.
So, right. I think it's going to be a slow... Triple H is really, with these baby faces, he's done really, really slow progression with making that way, like the pop, there's a payoff at the end of the tunnel. So my prediction is Bron wins here. He goes to SummerSlam and it's a fatal four way Bron versus Sheamus versus Ludwig versus Anonymous. And then the night of SummerSlam, it's Ricochet. He returns at SummerSlam in this match. Or he returns like the go-home show and attacks Bron Breakker or whatever. And puts him in a fatal four-way. I don't necessarily think he needs to win right away on his return. I think they'll do like the sympathy thing. And you can build out with that IC picture, you know, sort of what they're doing with Wesley in NXT right now, where he sort of had to earn his way to get the singles match. And so I'm with you though. Ricochet's returning. He's not gone. They had the chance to bring him in last weekend on Sunday. They had the chance to bring him in. He didn't show up. I think Ricochet's coming back. I think this is all just a storyline.
I think the best thing might be to keep the strap off of Bron until we get through the Ricochet and Bron feud, because either Bron loses the IC title in a short reign, or he kills Ricochet and kills all momentum. I think if somehow you keep the belt on Sami, at Money in the Bank, whether it be through a Ricochet return, or I doubt Sammy wins clean. I think the best way to do it is Ricochet returns to Money in the Bank, costs Braun the match, and then we go, you know, a few weeks of, you know, the back and forth them attacking each other, and we get Ricochet versus Braun at SummerSlam, and then we get Sammy versus, like, what, Kaiser or Sheamus at SummerSlam.
Well, that's why I think you have to run a fatal four way for the IC title.
Well, I think Sheamus just beats Sammy straight up at SummerSlam.
There's too much involved in this story. Like, there's no, like, the, to be honest with, I mean, now technically Ludwig is hurt apparently. So, I don't know if that's storyline or apparently he got hurt 2 weeks ago.
Well, I know. Did they say what kind of hurt?
I didn't say. Or I didn't see anything. But I just feel running a fatal four way or a fatal five way or something, it involves everyone that's already in the picture. I just think, like, a Sammy versus Sheamus thing, like, Ludwig would attack Sheamus. That just logically how I would think of it. Where if you're already in the match, I don't know. I think Sheamus wins at SummerSlam. I do. I don't think Braun needs a long IC title run. I don't.
But at that point, you're playing on for like a month or less than a month at that point. Because SummerSlam is, I mean, SummerSlam is.
The way I would book it would be long term. Like, have him win it now at Money in the Bank, win the Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam, and then him and Ricochet, he could play the sort of fall months leading to Survivor Series, basically playing roulette with Sheamus and Ricochet and all of them for the next two, 3 or 4 months. And then at Survivor Series, you can have Sheamus win it. I think this is why it's not a bad problem. It's a good problem to have this much talent, but I just personally would have put Braun in the main event scene already because you sort of mess up his, I don't think you can accomplish both Ricochet and Braun looking strong in this situation. So someone's going to have to job out to it. You either have Ricochet lose to Braun, or you have Braun win the title and lose it in a month. And either way, someone's going to have to do the job.
Unless it's like a long fought out match and Ricochet wins off a roll up or something. Or,
right.
I don't know. I guess he liked that feud getting like pretty intense. I saw people's predictions out there, stories or story plotting out there that Braun ends up spearing Samantha Irving.
Please don't kill Samantha Irving. Oh, good Lord.
Or like Ricochet's like next to Samantha or something like that. And right. Then Braun goes like spear Ricochet, but he like moves out the way and Samantha's just there and boom, eats a spear. I don't know.
I don't know if I can see that one. Let's move on to Damian Priest versus Seth Rollins. And this one is probably the hardest match for me just because I could see either winning. I'm picking Seth Rollins. And so the way I have this match ending is, and I only picked Seth Rollins because of what happened yesterday with the sort of tension between Finn and Damian. They really upped the amount of tension in between the two. And so I think Finn cost Damian the match. So we were doing our early SummerSlam predictions, what was it, like 2 weeks ago? And I had Dom versus Damian, and you had Finn versus Damian. I'm changing. It's going to be Finn versus Damian. The new information here, it's 100% that's the direction they're going. So I have Finn costing him the match in some way, shape, or form. Seth is going to win. I know a lot of people will disagree with me. But I think Seth versus Gunther is the bigger marketable match. Priest versus Gunther would be a banger. I just think from a character storyline plus a marketing aspect, you have opposites. Seth Rollins is the flamboyant, outgoing, you know, he cares about the show. He's good in the ring, but, you know, he cares about the show. He's got the chance and all of that. Gunther is the, I'm just going to beat your ass in the ring. You know, I'm the ring general. I'm the best in the ring. I don't care about what the fans think. So you have bitter opposites. You have a fan favorite in Rollins. I mean, Gunther's liked, but it would be easy. You know, when you have Rollins in the ring, no one's cheering for Gunther.
See, my problem with this one, though, is that if Seth just comes, you know, he loses. Last time we saw him was at WrestleMania, right? He loses that Mania. Damian, you know, picks up the thing, whatever. And then as soon as Seth comes back, but you put the strap back on him. Like, right now, Damian just made his way out of being a transitional champion. Now, I feel like if he loses back to Seth, he goes back to just being a placeholder champion. You know, so I think Damian needs to win this match in order to, like, keep his character strong. I feel like if he loses it to Seth, he looks like a placeholder champion.
So I guess my question would then be is how do we get to Damian versus Finn? Is Finn going to challenge for, I mean, you can't have that at SummerSlam at that point then, because it's going to be Gunther versus Damian. I think the story's at a place where they're going to finally pull, they should have pulled this trigger last year with Damian and Finn, but
I think you can do Damian and Finn. Like, I don't think Damian Finn screams SummerSlam, though. You know what I'm saying? I think you could put that on a Battleship Berlin. You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, who are you going to have?
So you think we got 2 months worth of story between the two, though?
Well, yeah, because we still got to get Rhea's input on this. Rhea's not returning until either. I think Raw after Money in the Bank.
I think, yeah, she's returning in the next week.
Yeah, I don't think she returns Raw after Money in the Bank.
Well, I will guarantee she there's no reason for her to show up at Money in the Bank because there's no women's matches.
Yeah, Liv has no match. Bayley has no match. So, I think Rhea returns Raw after Money in the Bank or maybe the Raw after that. I don't think it's too much longer, but I think we need to see Rhea try to mend the fences of them, and then I think Finn caused Damian to
interfere again. What I would do, honestly, if it was me, now that you mentioned Rhea, I don't think this needs a lot of story for her and Liv. Like, she doesn't need a month build for this match.
Well, not for Liv, but for the Damian and Finn aspect of it. Because right now, if you remember, they kind of mended fences slightly. Damian was like, you know, my bad, bro. Let me go get some ice. I think we still need the true implosion where Damian's like, you know what, Finn? I don't need you anymore. Leave me alone. I think we need the implosion. We saw some fizzle, but we need that implosion.
And I think you could get that at Money in the Bank. Finn accidentally cost him the title by trying to interfere with Seth, and with Seth winning and Damian no longer part of Judgment Day because Finn tried to, you know, do what he always does and interfere and not trusting Damian. I think you can immediately have Damian snap immediately. Like this has been a year in the making that they've been teasing this. I mean, there were rumors last year going into Money in the Bank last year about whether or not, you know, Damian would turn on Finn or Finn would turn on Damian and cost him the Money in the Bank. And so this is a year in the making. And so
if we're doing,
I don't
turn baby though. What are you saying?
I don't necessarily see. That's the thing. Everyone sort of assumes that if I turn on if Finn Balor turns on Damian, that means Finn has to be a face.
Damian face.
Or yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to automatically say, well, Damian has to be a face because Finn turned on him. I think you can make this more nuanced where Damian's just annoyed with Finn Balor always interrupting and getting in the way and not trusting him. And it's more of a personal beef.
But then it is. You see, like, so we already got like shades of Damian trying to become face of him, you know, trying to tell Judgment Day to stay in the back or let me handle his business or, you know, not jumping in on the
jumping. Right, because Damian's trying to build this idea that he can do it by himself. And so Finn not trusting him like he should and getting involved in the match with Rollins, which ends up costing Damian, that's in and of itself enough for Damian to flip on him.
Well, do you think it would be a bigger impact of Damian becoming face is if he walks out on Judgment Day on his own? Where, like, you know, he wins the match against Seth, and then the Raw after, we're like, you know, I thought I told you, I need you guys, I need you guys to stay in the back, don't interfere in my business. And then is he more face if he leaves Judgment Day on his own accord?
So the problem with that is if I just, would that not make him, to me, him abandoning his family just feels... That feels like a heel move to me. And so I don't know. I don't like the, I'm not saying Priest shouldn't win. I'd be 100% okay if he wins. I think from a marketing standpoint, plus a storyline standpoint, Finn costing Priest is a better story because it leads to a reason why we have the match. And then we can have the bigger seller of Seth and Gunther.
So you're probably right. I just don't want Finn to look like a placeholder champion. Then, you know, as soon as Seth is ready to come back, we put a towel back on Seth.
I think that Damian was, in my opinion, Damian was always going to be a transitional champion. Because in the same way, I think he was going, if he wins at here, and he goes to SummerSlam, he's losing to Gunther. And so he's transitionary either way.
Well, I mean, but at that point, though, he would have already beaten, like, three opponents at that point. You know what I'm saying? Because he won it at WrestleMania, and then at the point of him facing Gunther is, what, Bash at Berlin? Or, no, sorry, SummerSlam. SummerSlam, yeah. Which is, what, August, late August?
SummerSlam is early August. It's about August
this year?
Yeah.
So you got what? So all of April, all of May, all of June,
right?
All of July. So he's going like a 4 month reign at that point. Four or five month reign.
I mean, I think that's better. It's a month differently. I mean, it's 3 months better than or 4 months better than 3 months. I don't really see a difference in that. He's still transitionary, in my opinion. You're transitioning from Rollins to Gunther either way. And so that's just the way that I look at it. I think that they trust him to be in the title picture and they gave him the run because of the match at Puerto Rico and they're going to give him a singles run by himself.
See, I'm thinking about it. Another reason why I think you might be right is because if Damian does win Money in the Bank, and he goes on to face Gunther. Who does Seth face at SummerSlam? Seth is one of your biggest names.
Seth is going to be on the card. And so where do you put him? And so like I when I look at these things, that Gunther versus Seth is the draw.
Yeah.
Outside of Punk and McIntyre. Especially if Roman's not back yet. And we're going to talk about his potential return after we predict this last match.
Right.
You know, see how quickly we did this when there's not 15 matches on the card? We predicted Forbidden Door and only picked like 9. And they added.
Oh, yeah. We got to go through our predictions after.
Bro, I don't even remember who I predicted. but we picked like 9 matches and they added 6 on Wednesday.
I think I did pretty well, actually. While I was going through the card, I think the only one that I know I got wrong was the Jericho and Hook triple threat.
Yeah, I don't even remember who I predicted. Whoever's. Yeah, I don't even remember who I predicted. But we got the bloodline of I'm assuming Jacob Fatu, Solo, and Tama Tonga, right? Tangaloa is not going to fight.
Well, depending on his travel restrictions, I know Canada is sometimes hard to get into. I know Jacob Fatu's got the record. So it might be Solo, Tanga, and Tonga.
Okay. Either way, you would assume, though, that they would get this cleared for Fatu if they were going to put him in the storyline. But it is what it is.
According to Meltzer, that idiot. But what he said is that from what he heard is that the current plan is Solo, Tangaloa, and Tangaloa. And the two brothers or whatever.
The two Tongans, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be them two and Solo, and that that if they want to, they could put in Jacob last minute, but he said he's currently hearing is Solo and the two brothers.
Which probably means it's going to be Jacob Fatu. Because Dave's been wrong here a lot recently. But either way, they're facing the reincarnated best friends of Team RKO and Cody Rhodes. And so I'm going to ask you first, who wins?
Oh, the Bloodline wins.
Interesting.
I think the Bloodline wins. I mean, especially if Jacob's in the match, I think Bloodline wins. But I think this is a way for you to make them, you know, they're still going to be strong. They're still going to be looking good. And then, you know, they win. They look dominant. And it makes you crave Roman even more. Like, we need someone to stop these people. And also, it gives Cody a chance to get a loss without him, you know, taking really right. a loss. Like they could pin right. Randy or pin KO or whatever. And he could lose without, you know, really be involved with the title or anything like that.
Right. I think I'm going to go the other direction. I think Kevin Owens is going to get the win. You have to, at least the way Triple H has been booking, except for last month where the hometown hero lost. But I just feel that, see, now I'm conflicted because I don't know. Either way, this match is going to be really good. Have they announced any like stipulation for it? I don't remember.
No, I think
I'm assuming on Friday, based on what happened last week, I'm assuming it's going to be another attack, and it's going to be like a no holds barred or false count anywhere.
And then Jacob gets involved.
Right. And so, well, not even Jacob. You can bring in the other Tongan, Hikaleo, Tala Tonga or whatever, if you needed to. You could debut him there. I don't necessarily know if you. So this is really what I want to talk. So I'm going to go with the Bloodline now as well. I'll put my money on them. So the question then becomes, when's Roman coming back? Is it going to be Roman? Because a lot of people suspected it was going to be The Rock. But it's Roman. You think it's going to be Roman coming back first?
Roman before who?
Before The Rock.
Oh yeah. I think Roman comes back, and then all the talking work. Because last time that we checked, Roman and Rock were on the same page. Last time they were on screen,
right?
And so I think Roman comes back first, and then I think The Rock comes out or whatever, and they stand side by side, but then The Rock like attacks Roman. You know, in front of the right. Bloodline.
So, because I think a lot of people assume when The Rock comes back, it's to face Cody, and I'm not sold on that. I think the bigger story, like, I don't think we need Rock versus Cody. I don't even want that to happen anymore. Mm. At least now. I don't even know why there was interest to begin with, other than the WrestleMania story, but that sort of got squashed when The Rock, you know, lost the match, or where Roman lost and Rock sort of got defeated. And so I think the rest of the storyline heading into next year's Mania has to be Roman versus Rock. I think you have to build to that. And so I think Roman, I don't know if he comes back this week. I would save the return for SummerSlam, the day of. Whatever you get Solo in the Bloodline into, I'd have Roman come back during that segment.
Well, if you're doing that, then wouldn't you possibly do Solo versus Cody for the title?
I'm assuming that's what's going to be the plan.
And then you put the title on Solo? Because the only reason it makes sense for him to walk out at that point is to do a stare down with Solo.
I personally think Roman could interfere and help Cody win the title or retain. Because I don't necessarily think Solo versus Roman, like this whole Bloodline thing, I don't necessarily think it needs the title.
Well, yeah, true.
And so I think if it's Solo versus Cody, Roman comes out and everyone thinks he's going to attack Cody, but he attacks Solo instead.
At that point, then we're going to have to make the Cody versus Solo match no DQ at that point.
You can have it be DQ.
Roman, his appearance is going to be his music plays. So unless you have like a major ref bump and Roman's walking himself to the ring, I don't think Roman comes out during a match. I think he comes out.
A match. Either that or Jimmy comes out and tries to talk some sense into his brother, and then attacks him. It doesn't necessarily have to be Roman. I don't know. Obviously, the Civil War is going to culminate into Survivor Series. That's where it's going to happen. That's probably going to be our War Games match. I think we've all sort of figured that out. We really don't have that much time to November. Yes, we have 6-7 months, but it's not a lot of time to really tell the story that needs to, I mean, it's not really a lot that needs to be told, but to have SummerSlam is August. Obviously, Roman's probably not going to Berlin. I don't see that happening at the end of August. I don't see him fighting there. I think he comes back. I think he interferes. He costs Solo the title. And Cody can go on and do his own thing. And Roman comes in seemingly like squashing the beef between him and Cody by helping Cody retain. And whether it's by DQ or not, I don't think Roman cares about that, because this is about family to him. And so he really doesn't care about Cody. He just wants to get revenge on the guy who attacked his wise man.
I think Roman comes out post-match. I don't think he comes out during a match. As far as Money in the Bank is concerned, I think Bloodline win Money in the Bank. I know we're getting Cody Randy at some point, but I think it's after SummerSlam.
Right.
I think we get Solo versus Cody at SummerSlam.
I think Randy Cody could be like the Berlin match. I think if you want to do it there, they haven't announced what PLEs are going to be in September and October, so.
I think it's Crown Jewels October.
Well, Crown Jewels traditionally the first week of November.
Or Saudi.
The one in Saudi. So they typically do Crown Jewel and Survivor Series in the same month. And then there's two before then, after Bash at Berlin, whatever's in September, whatever's in October. The rumor is Bad Blood's coming back.
Oh, is it like Extreme Rules usually in October?
It's typically like Extreme Rules and then some random one, like Hell in a Cell or something.
They'll probably do Bad Blood then.
Yeah. So those two, or throwaways. Who knows what happens there? You don't necessarily need Cody in a match in those. But yeah, I the Bloodline definitely wins at Money in the Bank. What happens? Like I said, it's hard to predict what happens here. There's a thousand different things we can name, and it's probably going to not be any of them. So there's our Money in the Bank predictions. So we'll move into questions from Discord. We didn't hit this last week because we ran out of time. We went pretty long last week, discussing some good stuff. So we'll go into these questions. B-Master asks, is it safe to say that not being a wrestling fan makes you the odd man out, or are we not there yet? I'll let you start with this one.
I don't think we're there yet because as far as dominating the mainstream like pop culture, it's not like it was in the 80s and 90s, especially the 90s. Do I think WWE is very popular just in general? Yes, to the point where like the everyday person, if you ask them, do you know what professional wrestling is? And they're like, what, like WWE? Like right. the name is there just based on longevity. You know, they know people like The Rock and John Cena and Hulk Hogan. And I don't think I think The Rock coming back and everything going on that happened in last year, going to Mania, I think that definitely made The Rock was right, made wrestling cool again, as far as it's not as downplayed or looked down on as it was like in the 2010s. So right. I definitely feel under Triple H, especially with the what him and Nick Khan have been doing with growing the WWE and growing their pop culture reach and cross promoting and with people who actually matter and people who are actually like have an influence, and you know, like the thing they did with the Knicks and Pacers on was it Smack on Raw or SmackDown?
That wasn't SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah. SmackDown. That was a cool thing, and that brought good eyes to it. It was even mentioned on like ESPN and everything. They were talking about it.
Right.
So I do think it's cool, but I don't think it's like the if you don't watch it, then what are you watching kind of thing. I think we're still in the minority, but we're a cool minority.
Right. So I think this is a very good question. I don't think I'm with you. We're not there yet. And we're not there yet simply because the numbers tell me we're not there yet. You know, we're at least in America, we're a country of 300 million people, and we can barely get two to watch just, you know, throughout. We can barely get 2 million to watch the show. And that's to assume they're, you know, probably half of the viewership between all the shows are shared viewers. So we maybe have at best like 1.4, 1.5 million actual viewers of wrestling that watch on a weekly basis. And so we're nowhere, like we're a small, small percentage of the population that actually pay attention to wrestling. I think the name recognition is there with WWE. But it's sort of just like the name recognition of most companies that have a long tenure. You know, everyone knows what a Toys R Us is, but no one's shopping at Toys R Us anymore.
I mean, they are out of business.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, there's reasons for that. but I just, you know, people know what certain companies are, but, you know, they don't hold the same sort of cultural important that they used to. You know, they call it the airport test. If you go to a random person in the airport, ask them to name a wrestler that wrestles today, there's not a single one. Maybe Roman, that a mainstream casual never watch wrestling could name. And I'm not even certain Roman Reigns would be one someone could recognize.
You remember especially in the 2010s, maybe even before that, how if you're watching episode of Raw, like a fact was a fact would pop up where it was like last week Raw was watched more than NBA, MLB, NFL games combined, all that stuff. So like, I mean, if we're pulling more viewers than all these,
I don't think those numbers combined, were true though. I don't think those numbers were true though.
I think they would have to be, because if not, isn't that kind of like liable for suit?
No,
for being sued.
Vince could easily say that it's a TV show. It's not real. And it's a soap opera, and it's scripted.
Well, it's like
it's similar. We're
like number one.
It's similar to his WrestleMania attendance that they announced live. Those are I'm not going to say scripted numbers, but those are highly altered numbers.
By the way, I feel like that's different than saying we are the number one ranked show in all of NBC broadcasting this week. Yada yada. We pulled in more viewers than.
So yeah, than a lot of them were like we were viewed more, or we had more Twitter clicks than all these other sports industries, and. I don't necessarily think that means – so you could follow the WWE on Twitter and not actually watch wrestling. Mm. And so, I think those numbers are just – they're altered in a way to make it appear like it's more popular than it is. Because I don't necessarily think from a mainstream perspective that wrestling is all that cool. I mean, I think it's cool because I'm a fan of it, but I don't, from a mainstream perspective, I still think that there's the stereotype that people who watch wrestling, they're watching the fake stuff, you know, they're children, it's childish, they're like the weird, like basement dwellers.
Also, I mean, I don't find it hard to believe that, you know, when they're spitting those facts. I'm gonna get sidetracked, but for whose question was it? B-Master's question.
Yeah,
but I can see on like a Monday Night Raw one week that we pull more viewers than say the TNT game that week was like, I don't know, Pistons versus Thunder on TNT. Like I can see Raw pulling in more viewers than that, because you know, like a fan of wrestling, you know, even though your favorite character might be John Cena, you're watching all of Raw. Whereas you're probably only going to watch the Pacers versus OKC if you're a Pacer or OKC fan. You know what I'm saying? Or if you just love basketball in general. But I feel like maybe that's how the numbers worked in our favor. I don't think those numbers were lies. I think they were pretty accurate. I feel like that's like risky business, trying to put these false facts out there about and like naming other companies and naming like measurement companies and all that stuff. I feel like that's risky business.
I mean, you're not wrong. It is risky. I just think no one would really do anything about it because Vince could easily claim, oh, this is a television show. Mm. And so in the same way that, you know, Big Bang Theory makes shit up, I can make shit up.
Like AW's numbers?
Well, without Big Bang Theory, they won't exist. But let's move on. Kara asked, this is basically two questions in one, and it actually, this first one translates real well with some, I know you got some words for what is known as Fox TV from what happened on Friday. So Triple H said with the move to Netflix that the PG era is officially over, will the talent have more creativity with promos? So my answer to this is to set up the sort of your comments with Fox is I don't think there's going to be any alteration in the product. I just think this move was made because Fox likes to do what they did last Friday and ruin the show. And this allows them to create a live environment on TV. So I don't think the content's going to change all that much, but I think the ability for the fans to get into the content more. Plus, a move to Netflix, USA Network is viewed by, I think like 70 million people have access to it through cable. And Netflix has like 200 million accounts. That's two-thirds of America have Netflix. I believe is a stat that I saw. So they have like double the audience that they could, you know, and someone's going to click on Raw on accident, just scrolling through Netflix. You know how people view Netflix. They just start clicking buttons until they find something they like. So this first part of her question, I don't think it's changed. This changes much, but it does change the idea that we won't have segments ruined because of censorship. And when you're someone like me that listens to commentary, like I need commentary. Commentary tells the story of wrestling. And so when you have the holy shit chant break out and so they're censoring it and you miss 2-3 minute segments of commentary, it kind of ruins the whole moment. So I'm going to let you answer that. You can say whatever you want about Fox as well.
All right. Now, to go back to my, you know, so some of our listeners who might remember, what was it 2002, 2003, the campaign that went around, get the F out. All right.
Fox. Right.
Get the F out of here, Fox. We don't fuck with you, Fox. Okay. You know what I'm saying? For not to get political on y'all, but for a, you know, a company that, you know, loves to not be censored and not to, you know, they want to, you know, speak their truth and speak their freedom without, you know, being censored. You're censoring my show a lot. You're censoring my WB product a lot. I'm not a fan of that. Okay. Now, as far as it going to Netflix, and I think the product changes, there's a few things. I think the promos will, you know, we might get a couple, you know, extra little creative language in there. Do I think we're gonna start doing like tombstone pile drivers off the top rope? No. I think the matches will probably, you know, will be the same quality, same type of matches. Maybe someone gets cut open a little, you know, a little extra. But I don't want to see blood in every match. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that. I do want the blood to be sparingly and want to improve stuff. But I'm definitely looking forward to creative language being used a little more, maybe some spicy storylines, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, Tozawa and, like, I don't know, like, Tiffany Stratton having, like, a little love affair, you know what I'm saying? I think that stuff could be creative and be funny. Also, I do think it'll be good for not only people watching on Netflix, because of like lack of commercials or commercials having to pop up in the middle of a match. I think it helps the live crowd because, you know, when you go to a live show, you can tell, you know, when they go to a commercial break,
right?
So, and the wrestlers start doing maybe like a headlock or they start.
Not even that. It's if it goes outside, they're going to commercial. Like this is WWE scripted with that. Like I can go to any live show when they do these dives outside and they sit around and, you know, stare at the camera, it's commercial. And for those who don't know, if you go to the live shows, if you stare at the Jumbotron, if your arena has a Jumbotron, the screen will go black. As I lost Wavy D here, the screen will go black. There he is.
On my side, showing that you have no signal bars next to your, and your picture went away.
Look, I don't know what happened, but we're turning into the Beyond the Junkyard podcast here with all these things here. My internet.
It happened while I was talking, so I just kept talking. But then once I finished mine, I hope maybe if I reloaded, you would like be back. But on my side, your picture is gone. And, you know, we out here recording at, you know.
Can you still hear me at least?
Yeah, I hear you.
Y'all don't need to see me.
I know like your recording was still picking up you.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
All right.
You're
talking about the crowd and like,
yeah,
like
so, the commercial break. Yeah, so when they go to commercial break, if you look at the Jumbotron, the screen will turn black. And then the picture will show back up. That tells you they're going to commercial because they typically have the live logo in the middle or in the top of the screen. just little tricks that, in case you've never been to a show, that you can know that, hey, this is under commercial. But I don't really have anything else to say about anything. So her second part of this is when they do hit Netflix, does this mean that the ratings war with AEW is over? And I don't think it is. I don't think they care about ratings anyway.
The AEW fans will find some way to compare the two.
Yeah, yeah. But that, and I don't even know if there's a way to measure how many people watch Raw on Netflix.
I mean, I know Netflix has the numbers, but what are they sharing them or not?
Yeah, but Netflix aren't going to isn't going to share those numbers. So
I mean, I guess one way to look at it is maybe if we pop up like number 3 in the top 10 viewed this week.
Right. I think this move to streaming is WWE recognizing that the ratings really don't matter to anyone but the advertisers. And with the Netflix deal, they're not going to need to depend on advertising, because they already have the set money, the $10 billion or whatever the deal was. They're already going to get that money, no matter if there's advertising or not.
Yeah.
And so now I do know if you buy the more expensive plan, the ads are removed. If you use the basic plan, you'll have ads. At some point during the show, I believe. I don't know how that's going to work.
It'll probably be like when you watch a premium live event on Peacock.
Right.
When they do a video package about the upcoming match.
Right.
They show you commercials during that.
Right, which is fine. I don't have a big deal with that, to be honest with you.
I just don't want commercial breaks during my actual matches. Just put the
picture. I agree. I hate picture in picture. I hate like, hey, we're gonna go to break in the middle of this match. So yeah, I definitely agree with you there. And then Kara's last question is more of a statement. Show us your playlist of wrestling. What are some fire themes that you listen to? So I'll start with this one. I'll be honest. I don't really listen to wrestling music outside of when they play on TV. Same. I mean, I have a WWE playlist, but I only play it when I'm at a show. Like when I'm in the parking lot, I'll jam to it, but I don't listen to it on a,
I do listen to when I'm at work sometimes, because you know, at work, you know, I can't be playing stuff with swear words left and right, because then I have to constantly worry about turning it down if a customer walks in. Right. So at work, if I get bored and I listen too much R&B, too much hip hop, too much pop, I'll throw on the wrestling playlist. And on my playlist, my top 5 songs that I mess with: Cody Rhodes' theme song, the old Randy Orton, like the Burn to My Light one, CM Punk, both of them, the his current one and his What's the other one?
This Fire Burns or whatever.
Yeah, This Fire Burns. Yeah. I listen to both CM Punk theme songs. Batista, Christian's old theme song.
Kane's like, what was it, like 06, 07 or whatever? Yeah, that one. That one was a banger. Chemical something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a banger. I play that.
I'm not listening to this stuff Def Rebel's putting out. I'm telling you that.
has Death Rebel had a genuine hit yet? I mean, so you can say Jacob, but Jacob sounds like a remix of Solos.
When you said that, I started listening to it. They literally just slowed Solos music down.
Yeah.
And so my issue I have with Death Rebel, outside of the songs are just trash, are because there's an issue with people not recognizing them. Because they're not unique, every single person has the
name or
the producer check. Yeah, like the producer or like the some way to identify you. So like Tiffy will, it's Tiffy time. Or like Charlotte now is all hell the queen, as if we don't know what Charlotte's music is.
Bailey's is role model. Like what the fuck?
Naomi spells her name out. Jade, there's a storm coming. Right, and so. If you just made good music, you wouldn't need to have these identifiers at the top, at the beginning of your songs.
Now, with WWE getting that $10 billion, you know what I'm saying, from Netflix, shell out a little bit of money and get some of these, like, you know, like songs made by these bands again, like these real bands.
Yes. Yeah. They have this money. I don't know why they stopped doing it. I think that just makes for a more enjoyable experience anyway. I don't know. I also wish that they went back to playing like the official tracks of like PLEs had like a reference or like it's an artist from the area. Like, you're in Toronto. Why is Drake not sponsoring Money in the Bank?
Well, no, I think Nav is a Toronto artist.
I don't pay attention to Toronto, to be honest with you. So
he's a Canadian Toronto guy, Nav, I'm pretty sure.
All right, so that's good. I mean, I know they got Triple H seems to be bringing that back because Meek was with, you know, part of Philly. So we'll see if that stays the course. So those are our questions. Again, you could send your questions in by joining the Discord. So we're gonna bring back a segment we haven't done in a while.
Yes, sir. And that is,
we're starting the men's Thirsty Tuesday.
It's tournament. Thirsty Tuesday. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. It's thirsty.
So, look, I'm at the clip lat, and that's gonna be like the video. I'm gonna put that on a video, and we're gonna play that every week now. But we have a bracket. It's been up in the Discord for about a month now. So we're gonna start with, for those who aren't in the Discord or aren't paying attention to it, even we're gonna use WWE, AEW, and TNA men. Everything's been randomized, seating wise and matchup wise. I don't have criteria. You can make up your own criteria for who wins. For me personally, I'm gonna get into it.
Looks better.
Right, I'm gonna get into it. The looks are important, but that's not the only. With this tournament, you know, Kara, you know, I gotta support you, Kara. I want to hear your thoughts in the. You better be voting on all of these matchups, Kara. I'm doing this for you. So matchup number one is AEW's Adam Copeland versus Randy Orton.
Well, this one's easy. I think Randy Orton is objectively the better looking man.
Yeah, I agree. The
only time Adam Copeland might have looked better was when he was like winning like Money in the Bank, you know, like around that 2006, like him and Lita.
Right, Lita thing, right.
Yeah, but now
maybe 09 when Randy sort of looked like a demon in 09 because he was a literal demon.
Okay, he had the shaved head.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that look, but yeah, Randy without a doubt.
And then Edge was retired, so he had like that short like dad cut.
Yeah. So matchup number two is AEW's MJF versus Dominic Mysterio.
Well, this is tough.
This is tough.
You know, as much as I love a mullet and a mustache, I gotta say MJF takes it here. Like if I were going to a club, you know,
right?
And I see my girl talking to someone who looks like MJF, I'd be like, yeah, I gotta find me another girl. You know what I'm saying? but like if I see my girl talking to Dominic Mysterio, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, she'll probably swerve him. I don't gotta worry about that. And that's kind of like the way I'm judging, especially with like the younger wrestlers who are closer to my age.
Right.
Like the younger ones who are closer to my age, my theory is, or my method is, if I'm talking to a girl or I'm hitting on a girl, and then say if I go to the bathroom and I see her talking to this other guy, it's like, damn, do I got a chance to approach her again as we talk to that guy?
Right.
That's how I'm judging me.
Look, for the last 2 years, though, this man Dominic been blessed. 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 I'm picking Dominic here. I am. There's just, I'm judging personality as well. And Dominic, you know, he's not cocky. He's humble. You know,
The personality, he didn't just personality for the women.
I mean, look, I got to make this as uncomfortable as possible. Dominic Mysterio, you know, it's the mullet. It's the mullet. It's what it is. I'll be honest with you. matchup number three. This one's tough. Drew McIntyre versus TNA's Nick Nemeth.
Oh, so Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. You know what I'm saying? These are some older guys, so my method doesn't really work. I'll go by who I think, like, the women like. You know what I'm saying? Because I can see features of both of them, but I think Dolph isn't aging as well as Drew is. You know what I'm saying? That blonde hair can only get you so far in life. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's like beach blonde, it only gets you so far in life. I think DM Hunk. You gotta go DM Hunk.
You're gonna go DM one. Hunk.
Yeah, it's a name.
Yeah. I'm going Dolph.
Dolph.
I think the women like Dolph. I just.
Who do you like though?
Who do I? that's a good question. I don't know. We're ending this one on a really bad note here. Should have done this one first. Will Ospreay versus Kenosh. I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but Takeshita.
I'm not gonna lie, Will Ospreay. I can see a girl like him. I can hold you. You know what I'm saying? Especially with the accent, and then like he got like that rugby player look. You know what I'm saying? I go Ospreay. You know what I'm saying? I'm not quite sure what their guy looks like, but I can picture it, and like I'm not losing my girl to know.
You can't even see my camera. I was gonna show you the picture, but I'm going to Keshka. I think Ospreay looks quite I don't know. He's very mid. I don't know.
What was the last name? Takeshna what?
Takeshka. T A K E S H I T A, I think.
Okay. Okay, yeah. It's exactly who I thought it was. Yeah, I'm not losing my girl to this guy.
You're not.
Yeah, it's definitely who I thought it was. Yeah, he's the guy from Combat Club or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I'm not losing my guy to this guy from the Black. I know he got the luscious hair, but I'm not losing to this guy. He looked goofy half the time.
That's funny. All right, so those pictures are gonna go up. The voting is gonna begin us. And it'll last till next Tuesday. The four matchups next Tuesday are gonna be pretty good.
He's not even the best looking Asian on the AEW roster.
Ooh, I don't even know any other Asians on the AEW roster, to be honest with you.
I mean, you got the Japanese John Cena. You got you got
who the hell is that?
Okada, he's the Japanese John Cena. Ain't that what they call him?
Yeah.
Look at you. Not up to date with your AEW references.
Not at all. But that's going to be the episode this week. We're gonna end it there. It was Thirsty Tuesday. On Friday, I'm gonna have to predict Heat Wave. Because we got two PLEs this weekend for WWE. So we got a lot of wrestling. 10 matches combined between the two. Still going to be less matches than what Forbidden Door had. I got a little some questions for Triple H in regards to one Dakota Kai.
So but before you even go on that on your solo show, I just want the audience to know my input is that It's all part of the story, guys. Let him cook. Okay. All right. Triple H is obviously telling a story about Damage Control breaking up. And then within this, Dakota had to lose. That way Io Sky gets mad at her and kicks her out of the group. And that way we feel bad for her. And then she becomes a baby face. All right. And the reason she's not in the ladder match is because she's still recovering from her torn ACL. The last thing we need is for her to get pulled off the ladder and she falls 8 feet to the floor and she busts her kneecap again for the third time. All right. Dakota Kai will get a chance because Vince McMahon tried to let her go. He fired her. Triple H brought her back at SummerSlam. He going to let her cook. Just give her a chance. She come back from injury. That's my input.
All right. So that's going to be our preview to what I'm going to be saying on Friday. So pay attention for that. Tune in Thursday to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. They're live 9 p.m. Eastern time. Their link is in the description. Thank you all for everyone who watched and listened. And we will see y'all next week.
Facts. Brother, I'm going. Run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion.